Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of River City Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Our mission is to awaken people to the transforming presence and power of God's love. To find out more, visit rivercitychurch.com, and thanks for listening.
So I got back Friday night from a really short trip to Costa Rica to visit our long-term partner there in San Jose, an organization called For the City, which is led by Pastor Miguel and his wife Karina, and a team that they have in place there. We have a long-standing RCC member, one of our own that lives there, Kathy and Taylor Smith's daughter, Virginia. So it was great to spend time with her, where God has just really called and aligned her heart to live and work and be. Yeah, she's like, yeah, we love Virginia, all right? She came up through the youth group here like she was a child of this church, and God has just burden her for that city, and she's just a local, like being with her. It's like she's at a point where we were talking at dinner, and it's like, which is easier for her, English or Spanish? Like, she's really just acclimated to the culture and the city, and it's really cool to see. So it was neat. I've kind of toiled after I got back for 36 hours or so about whether or not to teach what I was planning to teach and give a recap, or just sort of frame a message around what we saw and what we experienced. And I decided to do option B because there was a lot that we saw and experienced, and there's a lot to update you on. I traveled with Kathy, and I traveled with Danny Kano, who I'm going to bring up in just a minute. Danny is a really interesting story, long-time friend of mine, but we had a big gap in between. We met at college at Southeastern in Lakeland, Florida in the year 2000. And Y2K, and we were in the dorm, and just really hit it off, and then he had some opportunities open up back home for him here in Jacksonville. He came back, ended up jumping into ministry, then he went back later, finished his degree, but we missed each other in that time frame. And then when I came to RCC 4 years ago, Jocelyn and I and the kids, the pandemic had just started, and my first Sunday was lockdown Sunday, so we were doing like a live stream with like 12 people. But then 4 months later, we opened up the doors in June, and people were coming in, and I looked out, and there was Danny, and we reconnected, and he and his family have been a part of this church for the last 4 years, and they're leading a city group and just doing a lot of cool things. Anyway, he stepped in a volunteer capacity to sort of give some tangible infrastructure and leadership to our missions team, and to really take ownership and help fulfill our vision to do multiple trips throughout the year and really cultivate deep partnerships in different parts of the world. So he and I went to see this partnership for the first time, and there was just a lot going on. I've got a verse I'd like to read. What's interesting is this verse is the one that I sort of landed on when I, you know, we're in this series called Love, and this is a verse about love, but it also parallels with what we're talking about, which is mission and this particular type of mission that we visited. But what's really peculiar, sometimes you're hoping that you've chosen the right direction for the morning. So I selected this verse from 1 John 3:16-20. And then Danny texted me this morning and said, hey, he didn't know I had selected it. And he goes, hey, look at this verse from the River City Church Bible reading plan. And it was 1 Corinthians 3:16-20 was today's reading. So you all already knew that because you read it. But okay, all right. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you've already done. And we pray that you will stir us up, wake us up, jar us into reality. Your reality, supernatural reality, is more real than our reality that can sometimes be a blindfold. So jar us into actual reality. Help us to focus our eyes on what we cannot see. Give us spiritual eyes. Wake us up. In your name we pray. Amen. 1 John 3:16-20. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. If any one of you has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, meaning words or language, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. One thing that I, in a broad stroke, took away from this trip is I have had a tendency to look at spiritual gifts a certain way. And we believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit here. We believe God does miracles, healing. We believe in the prophetic, spiritual languages, all that stuff. But you ever had the question of, so when you're doing like a mercy ministry or when you're responding to needs or when you're the kind of person that likes to serve and give and offer your time to others, how is that any different than, how is it different for people who do that in Jesus' name and people who just do that because it's the right thing to do or because they have a bent towards compassion? You know, it can be hard to distinguish between the two. And I think maybe I've had small faith when it pertains to the gift of mercy and the gift of care and the gift of responding to need, as maybe that's just something that happens in the natural because you're a Christian. Maybe that's just a fruit of the Spirit, which is supernatural in and of itself. But I also see that at work in people that don't follow Christ and don't have the Holy Spirit. So maybe I've just said, you know, maybe that's just a really good thing that we do, and now we're doing it in Jesus' name, and that's why it's good, but it's not necessarily supernatural. Okay, it's not necessarily supernatural. But as I walked the streets of San Jose, and as I spent time with Pastor Miguel and heard his story and heard his heart and his emphasis in the way that God had called him and broken him and all that he had walked away from and what God had walked him through because of this unbelievable desire to serve the poor and love the poor in his city, I began to realize that the way that he was loving and serving the poor was not a way that you can do that just in your flesh. It was supernatural. It didn't make sense unless God was involved. In other words, things that were happening, I don't believe that they would have happened the way that they did had there not been the supernatural gift of mercy. So as he stepped out into what God has called him to do, God began to come through in ways that enabled him to meet needs beyond his capacity as a human. Does that make sense? Well, it shouldn't. I'm just kidding. All right, so here's just a shot. Kathy wasn't here for this shot, but that's Danny on the left, Miguel and Karina, and then one of their staff that does so much for the ministry, Andrea, and then me on the right. This is right in front of the mission house, so where we would be sending our team. Danny and I stayed there, just wanted to see it for myself. Great, that's your view. You walk out of the mission house and you see the mountains, so not bad. So this is the team that we sent, just to celebrate and remember, this is the team that we sent almost 2 years ago now to Costa Rica. The reason I'm showing you that is because if you were on that trip, I want to also let you know and give you some updates on some things that we started as a church that there's still longstanding fruit in place that were a direct result of us being there. So I want to walk you through some of the things that are happening there. This was the first night. There's a couple. You see the wife at the head of the table and then a guy named Rafa sitting next to her. So we had an opportunity to go behind the team house and visit what's called the Pink House, which is a space that's been created for people that have cancer diagnosis but cannot afford treatment. So they have, through a series of just amazing God showing up and providing and all this, they have a home that people come and stay in throughout the duration of their treatment. So when they're finished with their treatment, they go and ring the bell, and it's like a celebration because they're done with their usually chemotherapy. So Rafa was there, and we had an opportunity to go and sit with them. They're living there just like it's their house. She made dinner. We came in. They were having dinner. We sat. There was some translation. And then we had an opportunity to pray over him And he just was so open and just received everything that we prayed. But they were preparing to leave there and then go back home. So this is one piece of the ministry that they have in place, is a home on site, on campus, right next to the church, right next to the mission house, where they bring people in that have a diagnosis that's oftentimes severe or terminal, and they have found a way for them to be cared for and receive treatment and prayer and hear about Jesus the entire time they're there. This was a night, I just wanted to show this so that you guys could see Virginia next to Kathy there. But this was another family, Victor and Cynthia, and their son, Jilly, and we went out to dinner one night, and then we stepped out on top of the mountain, this place where everybody takes photos, and just the city of San Jose is behind us, so it's just a beautiful, beautiful city that sits in a valley surrounded by mountains, okay? Watch this, then I'll tell you where we are here. Okay, that's just a really short clip, but I'm trying to be careful on some things that I show you. But there is a really just a slum called Verbena that is a Nicaraguan, somewhat like a refugee camp, but basically, I don't know how many generations ago, but people entered into Costa Rica from Nicaragua. They're not recognized by the government. They're there illegally, most of them, but they're extremely hungry and poor, and there's a lot of children involved. So they're on their own, and they're somewhat isolated and cut off from any of the municipalities and services that might be provided for someone living in the area. So when that happens, especially in certain countries, the cartel takes over. So that community of Verbena with men, women, and children is under the control, for lack of a better word, or of a local, Miguel would call it the mafia, we might call it the cartel. So what was so interesting about that is one of the former El Jefe, or the former leader of this particular drug cartel, it's a long story, maybe one day you guys will get to hear from Miguel, but Miguel was instrumental in introducing this man to Jesus. So the guy that was leading the drug cartel in Verbena was led to Christ. Now, where you just saw us walking, the reason I wanted to show you that is there is no way that I would have gone there. There's no way that Miguel would have taken us there. There was no way that we should have been there, except because this man met Christ and through a miracle was set free or stepped out of the mafia or the cartel and was not greatly punished for doing so, which doesn't make sense. He steps out of this crime syndicate and stays in the community. His children are one of the children that they feed there, but he stepped out of this crime unit and still lives in the community, but he's still respected and honored so that any time for the city shows up, a text message goes out to everyone involved that says, Miguel is here with a team. Make sure that they're protected. So here you have organized crime actually protecting us to do the work of the Lord while we're there, okay? That's supernatural. Another thing that's supernatural is if you were here a few years ago when we returned, another one of our RCC students that's away at college now, Teague Helton, Teague and Levi and Patch. Patch is still here. Levi's at FSU. But Teague shared a testimony about himself and a few others praying for a lady that was crippled. She was really down in her leg. Like, it wasn't working at all. She was having to spend a lot of time in a wheelchair. Well, the way that the story went was that when Teague and these other teenagers prayed for her, she actually said, I was just healed. What is it? Like, wait a minute. And she starts doing this with her leg, and she was healed. So Miguel wanted me to meet her because here we were 20 months later, and guys, she's still testifying to outright healing in her leg. I mean, you couldn't tell that there was anything going on. So that's longstanding fruit from our teenagers stepping out in faith to pray. So that's a celebration, right? Yep. And as we were there, we've got these young guys' faces blurred out, but we were able to sit down at one of their feeding centers, which is in the middle of this slum, all right? It would break your heart just to be there. but they are doing their best to provide as many meals a week. This is a small church that's located in the middle of this community, and they're doing their best to feed these children as many times as they can. So in coming weeks and months, we can have conversations about what continued partnership looks like there, but this is one of the several feeding centers that we went to, which were really just small churches, two of them, and then one of them was something else, that are just doing their best to make sure that these children have food, in their belly and that they're taken care of, right? So that's in Verbena. So then we went to a different part of the city, and we met this lady. I'm so sorry. I forgot to write down her name, and I cannot remember it. But this is why she's unique. Is Emma Domingo in here? No. Okay. So when our team was there 20 months ago, Emma and some other ladies ran into this lady. I don't have any other way to think about it. It was just God wanted them to do that. But they encountered her and started a conversation with her and found out that she is in this community with this kind of medium-sized space that can be a garage but can also be sort of like a ministry area. She works out of it, cooks food, sells food during the day to help provide for her daughter and grandson. But we ran into her. Our team ran into her, started a conversation which led to For the City partnering with her, and she's feeding, was it 120? 150? Xenia, spelled with an X, Xenia. And she's feeding 150 three times a week or twice a week, something like that. Three times a week. So 150 children are fed by her three times a week, and that has been made possible because our team, through God's direction, made a connection with her, introduced For the City to her, and now there's a partnership going on that's been going on for 20 months. So that's exciting. Our team that goes next month. Yeah. We were able to pray with her, and she had some specific requests that she wanted us to pray for. And then I don't have a picture of this, but after that, Manchester City and Real Madrid, they went to penalty kicks, Nate. So we did a little ministry, and then you see those chairs back there? Well, there's a TV facing that way. So Miguel went around the corner and bought us all like legit cane sugar Coca-Cola. You ever had that? Man, that was good. So we drank cold Coke and watched Man City blow it. All right. Okay, so when we returned from our last trip, you remember our very own Rudy, who is from Costa Rica originally. Yeah. Sharing a story about a pastor there that he had a significant moment with. It's Rudy's story to tell, but they had a significant moment together. And this is a pastor named Edwin Guida. And I'm going to invite Danny to come up in just a second and share something that he wants to share about him. But the one thing that I learned about him, and I've really been toiling over this, if you will. Here's a picture of all of us with him. He was like super close to having the same shirt on as us. We laughed about that. But so Pastor Edwin has this sort of, I don't say this lightly, but almost like this fatherly anointing on his life. And like this one little guy came in and like hugged him and kissed him. And I think, Danny, you said, that's your son? And he said, no. But he has so many sons and daughters in this area. And it's another area that's controlled by the cartel. As a matter of fact, while we were there, you could look out the window and you could see this guy on the corner making significant money all day long selling drugs. But here's what's fascinating. Another miracle is that we walked very freely and very safely through this community. And the reason is El Jefe, the drug boss, the crime boss in that area, was pastored by Pastor Edmund. So he may be living in evil right now, but there's a seed that's been planted. And you never know. You know, you always say, you never know who you're sowing into. They may grow up and be the next Billy Graham, right? Well, what about you never know who you're sowing into? They may grow up to be El Jefe and protect you so that you can do the Lord's work. You never know what God is doing in his sovereignty and in his goodness and in an upside down kingdom. God chooses when that seed's going to sprout in that man, and I believe it's going to sprout, and he's going to come to repentance. But in the meantime, he provides protection for the ministry of the Lord in that area. Amen? And children are being fed there too. Yeah, yeah, that's good. So, Danny, man, I hope I didn't say what you were going to say, but come on up here. Guys, this is Danny Kano. He's on two, Rudy.
Thank you. My daughters wanted me to point out that I'm wearing cowboy boots today. They think they're really cool. And today's soccer game, I'll be wearing shorts and cowboy boots. So it's hard to look at that picture of Pastor Edwin without crying. My dad on this earth is Richard Hodges, not blood related, but we lived across the street from him. And was always popping into the house to eat my mom's food and to spend time with us, inviting me over to his house to eat food out of his fridge. Took me to Florida State Seminoles games and just loved me like I was his own. And when I was a teenager, he didn't have the money. We didn't have the money, but somehow he paid for at least half of my missions trips 3 or 4 years in a row, which gave me so many opportunities to experience God and to see the world the way that most teenagers never get to see it. And he passed away about 10 years ago, but he lives forever in my heart. And the seeds that he planted are growing, I believe, into a great tree that's spreading fruit, Lord willing, in the future. And so when this child came up and gave Pastor Edwin a big hug and a kiss, and finding out that Edwin is now getting ready to adopt 5 young boys that are fatherless and motherless there, I told Pastor Edwin about Richard and about how my life is never going to be the same because of him. And just a small little opportunity to bless his family, to bless his church with some resources. You know, we were able to buy him a tank and a water pump, so that when they experience drought, they can continue their feedings. And finding out about his new family needing bunk beds and clothes and shoes, and I'm so thankful because we have so many opportunities now to bless him. Do you want me to share a little bit about just missions in general, about what the future is? So, so I'm thankful for Pastor Edwin. He and I have connected, and we're talking, we're praying. He's praying for our business. My business 2-3 years ago, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, has felt like a burden that I've been married to in some ways. Really purposeful, but stressful and challenging, and felt like it was pulling life and joy out of my life. But when you're signed over to, you know, a $4.5 million loan, you can't really walk away from it. And my Citigroup at the time was getting ready to, you know, we're praying for us, and we're looking at maybe even potentially selling different things. And you fast forward to today. This business has allowed me to step into a volunteer role to go, Lord willing, on 4, 5, 6 mission trips over the next year and a half, not for myself, but to connect people in the church to missions. And, you know, our business increased our payroll by about $800,000, which for a business our size is like 25% of our budget. Has given all of our staff members raises and have built up a really, really strong management team. I probably got 3 texts and I don't think any phone calls the entire time we were there in Costa Rica. A couple emails, a couple little things. And just so thankful that all this has happened, I believe, so that our church can experience what I've experienced so many times in my life, to see needs in other places that gives us context and purpose and meaning in what we do every day in our lives. And really looking forward to seeing the Costa Rica trip that we're getting ready to go on in July 31st. Whether you're sure or not sure, whether you feel your heart burning or not, show up next week for the meeting, sign up, we'll have lunch, we'll tell you about it. I've gone on about 13 or 14 mission trips in my life. I've led about 8 trips. Your students will be in good hands. We got a really great leadership team going with us. We're going to be ready, and we want to tell you about it.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Good man. We had a chance to pray for Pastor Edwin, and what you can't see there, but Kathy and Danny and Miguel and I saw, were giant tears hitting the concrete because he's overwhelmed right now. It's just to have this burden for all these children and to see, I mean, for us sometimes it can seem a little gray, but he can see this is the road that leads to darkness and destruction, and this is the road that leads to life. It's just clear. It's crystal clear, and it can be overwhelming. So we prayed over him and blessed him, and I'm excited for our team to go there and meet him and encourage him. And, you know, those who refresh others will be refreshed, but when God's prodding us to refresh, we need to do it because we have to cooperate with that. So we were able to refresh him and hopefully and sow into him. This little lady right here, her name is pronounced Magellan, is the way we would say it. She's a spiritual matriarch in the church. We're standing there in Pastor Miguel's office. And she had stomach cancer. I think she had a terminal diagnosis. And before I met her, it was the first day we were there, we were chatting with Miguel, and he was telling me that he was in his office one day, he was doing some work, and he could hear her in the sanctuary. So it'd be like if my office was on the other side of those doors right there, and then someone was in the sanctuary, and I could hear it. So he could hear her pray. And he said he just began to feel like, it's like something's going on in there, like something, that's not just prayer. Something's happening. And he said, I began to think, I believe God might be healing her right now because of what she's saying and the way she's conducting herself. Well, come to find out, she's had like organs removed. I mean, for her to even be standing there like that doesn't really make sense, except that God has healed her. She experienced a healing that day. She's not supposed to be standing there. She's not supposed to be alive. Now is not the time to share with you guys the vision and the dream that God has birthed in her heart through the ministry that she does with particularly young ladies in the city. So I'll just leave it at that. You guys can sort of track with what I'm talking about. But we will talk more as this develops. We had a good first meeting. Some things are in the first stages now of what it's going to look like. But pray for her. Her name is Magellan. Pray for what she's focusing on and what God is doing. Because here she is with these health. She came into the city that day. She was in San Jose for a doctor's appointment. And then she sat at the table with us at like 8 o'clock at night and was just spitting fire vision. The translator was having a hard time keeping up with it. I mean, it was just flowing out of her. So such a beautiful, beautiful example of if you're willing and able to offer yourself to the Lord, your age is not what he's looking for. It's your obedience and willingness for him to burden you and work through you. So we were ministered to powerfully by her and were able to pray over her. And then the last thing I want to share is Danny and I, it looks like we did a little construction work while we were there. But this ministry is San Jose, the city of San Jose is one way during the day and it's another way at night. And that's common in metropolitan areas. But there's a lot of sadness and darkness and brokenness that happens in the city. And one thing that for the city has become burden for is to feed the homeless and to feed them with dignity. So they go and they give a plate of food. We had some questions about that, and it was like, I know it's less practical to do a plate, but we do a plate with a fork. We give them dignity, so they give them a paper plate with a fork, and then they give them a cup of coffee, cafe, okay? Give them a cup of coffee, and then they minister them. This guy that we're praying for, they call Pastor Roberto. So behind him is a building that he works in. That's his day job. So he works there all day, and then at night, he comes out with a little thin mattress and a blanket, because the Lord told him that he's supposed to spend his evenings through the night among the homeless and be a witness to those that no one else will witness to. So he sleeps like a homeless person every night. We gave him a plate, we gave him a coffee, everything. And he does ministry from the inside out to the homeless. He'll wake up in the morning about whatever time, drive home, take a shower, come into work. Next night, right there among the homeless. That's his ministry. So we prayed for him, and we had an opportunity to minister, and we had an opportunity to see a lot of things. We're wearing those vests just because of traffic. We have the headlamps because some of the areas you go into, it's less lit than others. But this was an amazing opportunity to experience giving dignity to those that are living on the margins and society has written off. So that was a beautiful time and a beautiful space. So we were able to listen to a story. One of the last stories that Miguel told us was this guy. What's his name, Kathy, that they built a little? Huh?
Pato.
So Pato was living in the streets. He'd been in the streets for 20 years. And he had some really serious health complications I won't get into because they're it's a little nauseating, honestly, to talk about. But he had a rough life on the streets, okay? And this is what I'm talking about, supernatural mercy gift. I mean, a lot of things I've already told you are supernatural. But God gave Miguel like this dream that he couldn't shake and this vision in his mind that he couldn't shake about building a little house for Pato. So he shared it with the church to see what they thought, and all these people stepped up and just put together this little house. I mean, it would be like from here on the stage to there with a roof. I mean, really small space, but if you're living on the streets, everything. So there was a video that they've made of when they delivered it so their church could celebrate, and Pato's laying on the sidewalk there, and they wake him up and they say, look, we have a home for you. And he's crying. He's going, no. Like, so long he had become conditioned to, it was just hard to receive that kind of love, right? How could this disproportionate love be for me, right? So no, they took him in there, and for the first time in 20 years, he had a shelter over his head. So he'd been on the street for 20 years. About 3 days, was it 3 days, Danny? 5 days. 5 days later, someone called Miguel and said, Pato died. Okay, and you go, oh, sad ending. However, what someone also told Miguel, or Pato maybe himself had told him, is that years and years and years and years prior, Pato gave up on the Lord. And he said, God, because he was raised in it, the seed was there. And he said, God, I will never surrender my life to you unless you provide a roof over my head. If you ever provide for me a roof, I'll come back to you and you'll have me for the rest of my life. Now, that may sound like an unfair deal. Who are you to make that deal with God? Yeah, but you haven't slept on a sidewalk for 20 years later, have you? You know, 20 years on the sidewalk, who knows what you might pray? So that was his prayer. That was what was in his heart. God, if you ever provide covering. So when they found him, or when they came in and discovered, you know, his remains after they were told, he was smiling. And so in one sense, you could go, oh, no, sad ending. They finally gave him a house, and then he passed away. On the other side, you could go, he made his peace with the Lord and relinquished his spirit and went to be home forever. Or Jesus had prepared a place for him, right? So these are little miraculous stories. And one of the reasons I'm systematically over time, I try to visit all of our partners. I want to go. I want to see. I want to come back and represent it to you guys well. But I also just want to resonate. I want to resonate. There were actually some things that were prayed over me last week that I didn't understand. Some people prayed over me before I left, and then while I was there, I began to understand what that meant, some sort of prophetic words and images that people were giving me. But you want to go and you want to say, is this a place not where you know, people are doing good things, but is this a place where God is at work? Is God doing something here? Because I just want to be in places where he's doing something. And I can say to you, he definitely is doing something there, but I can also tell you that the work that our team did has bore fruit that's still standing. Still standing, and there's still more work to be done, okay? Would you stand with me? I hope that these testimonies from earlier and the testimonies that I shared with you about all that God has done and can do has built your faith. So I want to make sure that we have enough time and space for prayer. Okay, if God's stirring you, if God's stirring something in your heart, something may have just started happening with you about what it looks like for you to give your life to something. I don't know. Maybe God just stirred you towards an idea or a ministry or a calling. Maybe something just began to stir in you. I don't know. Or maybe you're just here and you need prayer. Okay? Either way, wherever you are, however you walked in this morning, you walked in with a good testimony, or you walked in and you're not ready to testify yet because you're in the middle of it and it's hard. God will meet you right there. He'll meet you right there with his mercy and his grace. So I'd like to invite our prayer ministers to come forward. We have people who will pray with you. They'll pray a blessing over you. They'll pray what God is, what they believe that God is leading them to pray over you. Or you can just tell them what you would like prayer for, and they'll pray in agreement with you. And then if you would like to receive prayer, even if it's, God, just wake me up. Wake me up to what you have for me. God, what do you have for me? Maybe you've written yourself off. God, wake me up. Snap me into reality. You can do more with me in 8 months than I could do in an entire lifetime, Lord. What do you have for me? Or if you're if you're sick or you just need healing or ministry, I want to invite you to come down now, and we want to pray with you. So if that's you, if you want prayer, we do this every week. You come down, you just make a circle around the stage, and if you say, I'm open to prayer, you stand and you open up your palms, you just say, God, I'm open. I'm here. I need you. I need ministry. I need prayer. I need help. And we'll come and we'll pray for you. So if that's you, come on right now. We have a few moments. Jesus, I pray for each and every person standing here. I pray that you will unlock what they need to see and experience. I pray that they will taste your goodness and your mercy and your love. Fill us with your presence. Wake us up, Lord, to the reality of you and what you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Prayer ministers, you can start praying.